Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers here today. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and praise. I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's so on this Mother's Day morning, our text comes from Titus, the second chapter, verses 3-5. And I invite each of you to follow along as I read Titus 2, verses 3-5. This is Paul's letter to Titus. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Today is the 98th celebration of Mother's Day as a national holiday in the United States. And Congress enacted legislation in 1914 designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. It is not a religious holiday. It is not one of the Christian holidays. It was the brainchild of Mrs. Jarvis, who wanted to honor her mother. And she lobbied in West Virginia, where her mom lived and died, and lobbied in New Jersey and other states. And many states had started observing Mother's Day before Congress enacted the legislation. But we want to focus today on mothers and Mother's Day because God's Word has a lot to say about mothers and the attributes that a godly mother should have. Most of us have or have had wonderful, good mothers. They do the best they can for their family. But no mother is perfect. The job of being a mother is not easy, and more often than not, it is a thankless job. And today, mothers deal with the threat or danger of divorce, the acceptance of sexual immorality by our society, a preoccupation with self-fulfillment has taken its toll on the family. All of these things cause our culture to spin out of control and the family unit begins to break down. But the Bible lifts up the Christian family as the backbone of society and exalts the place of the mother in the family. Motherhood is a ministry. It is a ministry of teaching children, preparing children to follow God's pathways, and being an example to our children and others of the love of Jesus. Now, at the time that Paul wrote this letter to Titus, Titus was ministering in Crete, and the environment in Crete was pagan. Even the Christians in Crete had a background in such violence, dishonesty, and immorality that they were legendary for such behavior. The Christian women in Crete were attempting to be godly, yet they were living in an extremely ungodly society. In our text, the older women, Paul tells Titus to exhort them to teach and to train the young women in the noble, excellent, and beautiful activities of motherhood. The older women were to teach the younger women the attributes of a godly woman. so that being so taught, the younger mothers could learn how to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. And I want us to look briefly at the ancient advice that was given to the young women, which still has contemporary power for us today. The first attribute Paul tells Titus of a godly mother is a godly mother loves her husband. The marriage relationship takes priority in a godly mother's life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 present the principles which should govern the home where the husband desire to love each other in accordance with the will of God. When marriage is a priority in a family relationship, the wife and the husband will be fulfilled. And they will be examples to the children. They will show the children how to have a successful marriage. The wife and the husband will both become aware of the dangers of placing other activities above that of being a husband and a wife, above that of the marriage relationships. Godly mothers love their husbands. The second attribute Paul talks about of a godly mother is a godly mother loves her children. And loving her children, or our children, for those of us who are dads, does not mean giving them everything they want or making sure they keep up with the world, that they dress like everybody else's kids, that they have all the right name brand clothes and shoes, that they go to all the right schools. It does not mean that. It does not mean allowing them to make their own religious decisions. And that's a subject for another sermon. Loving children requires discipline. Proverbs tells us, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Discipline is a sign of love. Like Karen talked about in the children's message, all the things that your mom did or does or requires of you is not because she's a taskmaster, it's because she loves you and she wants to give you the tools and the knowledge so that you can be a successful person and maybe even a successful mother later on in life. Loving children requires instilling them with the Christian worldview. Take them to Sunday school. Take them to Bible study. Let them learn what God's Word says about living in this world. Teach them to follow the pathway of Christ. Teach them to love Jesus. Care for them spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Godly mothers love their husbands and their children. The third attribute of a godly mother is a godly mother develops Christian character. And what are the traits of this character? First, a godly mother is self-control. And self-control in this instance means sober-minded. A mother is to think about what she is doing with her life. How is her actions affecting her children and her marriage relationship? The Cretans were known for lack of self-control. And we know Paul tells us that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It influences all that we do. And Paul teaches that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with decency and self-control. A godly mother is pure. This is another attribute, another characteristic of a godly mother. And purity in this instance relates to the commitment to the marriage vows. Purity also relates to spiritual influence in the home. Peter wrote, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." Purity also relates to the image of purity. Christian women ought to be modest and pure in heart and mind. You need to think in terms of speech and dress and all your relationships. You need to show modesty and not be crude and brash and maybe even indecent in your language or your behavior. And Christian mothers need to impart these quality of purity to their children. And Paul tells us that a godly mother works at home. He doesn't exactly say that. He says, ought to be busy at home. And that's what it means. It doesn't mean that he is saying wives should not work outside of the home. That's not what he meant at all. He is saying that there are many worldly elements which work against families today. And when he said today, he was talking about that time, but I'm saying that today also is applicable to us. There are many worldly temptations and forces which work against families. Paul is saying we ought to place the home in a position of priority in our lives. To be at home as much as possible. To be a mother. To be a wife. In order to give priority to the family and to the marriage relationships. You know, homes are created. They just don't happen. Just because a couple marries doesn't mean they are going to have a successful home. That they're going to be successful in setting up a home and raising children. Barclay said, "It is the simple fact that there is no greater task, responsibility, and privilege in this world than to make a home." A godly mother not only is pure and is to be at home as much as possible, but she is to be kind, demonstrating such kindness by performing good deeds, being benevolent to others, being hospitable, and having a giving nature. A godly mother is to be subject to her husband. Now, before you women start getting up and leaving, let me explain what I think that means and what most biblical scholars think that means. God created a family template which included a masculine head. Now, this does not mean it is a position of authority, but it is one of responsibility and loving care. Where love and mutual respect rule the home, there is little problem with working together and with submission and give and take. The husband is not a dictator. And remember that, guys. It's not your place or position to be a dictator. He exercised his position as head of the family primarily to be of service to the members of the family unit. And this is the same way that Jesus expressed his position as head over the church. He served us. He cared for us. He looked after us. These character qualities of a woman are quite different than those that were found in Crete at the time Paul wrote this letter to Titus. And unfortunately, they are not very common among society today, among the women in our culture. The mom ministry, as I said, is one of the toughest assignments that God ever gave anybody. Mom must be as insightful as a psychologist, as tough as a drill inspector, and as gentle as a nurse. She must be a labor and management negotiator, a teacher, an electrician, a plumber, and a carpenter. Being a mother requires an endless supply of energy. I don't know how you do it. When our grandkids come and Connie says, I'm going to run up to the grocery store for 30 minutes, it seems like 3 hours when I'm left with two of those grandkids. It's tough. It requires a massive amount of patience, an iron will, and recognition of the fact that if she ever gets sick, she has to be well before the school lets out and the kids come home. You know, 600 college students were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language, and 422 wrote down mother. A woman needs the attributes about which we spoke today to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. We need to be supportive of our moms, particularly those of you who are still living at home and mom is caring for you and probably has a job and, you know, taking care of her husband and your dad. And we need to pray for them each and every day. And if you are a mom, or if you are in a parenting position, or if you are a child, and I think all of us fall in at least one of those categories, and you don't have Jesus in your heart, then it's going to be difficult to be a godly mother. It's going to be difficult to be a child who responds appropriately to his or her mom. But we invite you to come this morning and to accept Jesus as your Savior. And that doesn't mean tomorrow that everything will be rosy and, you know, your mom will be come out looking like Mrs. Cleaver and having the apron and the starched dress on and the sunshine, you know, coming from behind her head. But you will be on the path to learning what God wants us to do as godly mothers and as children who respond to those mothers. Come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 283, Take My Life.